Good morning. I promise I do have a wife and an eight-week-old, but you know we're on his schedule in terms of feeding right now. So you know how babies can get if you don't feed them when they're hungry. So that's where Hannah is right now, and she's feeding him. But you'll be able to meet him after service today. And so, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, First Baptist Ellsbury, for being faithful here in Ellsbury with the gospel, and for being faithful with supporting folks like us who God has called to faraway lands just to do the same thing that you're doing here. So from the bottom of our hearts, we would just like to express gratitude and thanks. You know, this morning I thought about just kind of starting off in Japanese and just going. And then, like, of course, you guys, nobody would understand anything. And then I'd just be like, well, welcome to my first 2 years in Japan where we didn't understand anything either. But, you know, it's just much more fun to talk about the gospel when people understand what you're saying, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. The gospel, we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about a God who loves us and wants all peoples to know and to love him. So the title of this morning's message is Righteousness Based on Faith for all peoples. And that can kind of be broken into two parts. So we have righteousness based on faith, and then we have for all peoples. And we're going to look at this in Romans chapter 10, verses 4 through 15. But before we do that, I just wanted to give a little background information on the book of Romans. So the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, most likely when he was in the city of Corinth, and is considered by scholars to kind of be his penultimate work, like kind of like a systematic theology. I mean, it just has a full picture of how Paul viewed the gospel. And the book of Romans can actually be broken up into three parts. So the first part, in chapters 1 through 3, it talks about humanity's sinful condition. And it talks about how our relationship with God is broken and separated. And then in the second part, in chapters 3 through 8, you know, Paul gets into the gospel. And he says the solution for our sinful condition is Jesus and placing our faith in him and giving him our life. And then in the last part of the book, chapters 9 through 16, it talks about how this gets lived out, how this gets lived out through evangelism and through missions and through loving God and loving neighbor. And at its core, Romans is a very missional book with wonderful news. And that news is that the gospel is for all people in all corners of the world. And God wants all of them to know him and to be in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to read from the book of Romans chapter 10. And you can just follow along on the screen here, and I'll read starting in verse 4 and ending in verse 15. The word of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came to us, a people who had no desire to know you. And you opened our eyes to who you are. And you died on the cross and rose from the dead, and Lord, you call us in faith to yourself to turn away from our sins and to be in restored relationship with you and to find healing and rest in you, and we thank you for that. And I pray this morning as we discuss, as we look at your word and think about this good news, this gospel, and how to get it to other people, that you would transform our hearts and that you would make us to be more like you and help us to love other people like you do. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, there are four parts to this passage that I think are being emphasized by Paul. And those four parts are: righteousness comes through faith, salvation comes by believing in Christ, salvation is for all peoples, and we are invited to share the gospel with these peoples. So one more time, righteousness comes through faith, salvation comes by believing in Christ, salvation is for all peoples, and we are invited to share the gospel with these peoples. So first, in chapter 10, verses 4 through 8, righteousness, Paul shows us that righteousness comes through faith. But before we jump into chapter 10, I'd like us to look a little bit at why Paul is even talking about this in the first place. Now, in Romans chapter 9, Paul begins speaking to the Jews about his desire for them to know Christ. He elaborates on the fact that the Jews were chosen by God, and they were given the law and the promises, and through them, a Messiah would come. However, the Israelites used the law as a means to attain righteousness through works rather than faith, as God had originally intended. Let me read Romans 9, 30 through 33 to you. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. See, God's original intent for the Israelites was for them to pursue righteousness through the law by faith and not by works. And in chapter 10, Paul is continuing this line of reasoning, except he's going a step further, and he's connecting it to Christ in chapter 4, stating that the end of the law for righteousness is Christ for all who believe. Amen. After, in verses 6 through 8, he makes an explicit reference to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14, which are worded almost exactly the same as in the Old Testament, except Paul adds Christ in his version in Romans. And he is showing us that the fulfillment of these Old Testament verses in Deuteronomy is found in Jesus. And in verse 8 of Romans, we see that the word being near us in our mouths and in our hearts is Paul making it crystal clear that we do not obtain righteousness on our own. It is done by God for us through Christ, which is good news, right? Like, if I look at my own life, every time I'm just trying to be a good person, it doesn't lead to good things. It just leads to, like, down moods, depression in the heart, just knowing that I fall short. But God, loving us, has done that work for us. And our righteousness is found in him through Christ and faith. And so this is good news, right? This is really good news for all of us. And not only are we made righteous by Christ through faith, but salvation also comes by believing in Christ. The next point that Paul's making in verses 9 through 11. The Bible makes multiple references to the greatest commandment, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. And in Romans chapters 10, verses 9 through 11, Paul is showing us how to do just that, by confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. Trusting your life to the one who fulfilled the law, Jesus, is the greatest way to love God. You know, when we put our faith in Christ, we are not only justified and made righteous, but we are saved by him. And additionally, if we give our life to Jesus, we will not be put to shame. The Israelites were trusting and obeying the law perfectly, and because of that, they were constantly disappointed. They were looking to the law for the salvation God promised them as a nation. However, that salvation never came. But now, as Paul is pointing out, the awaited Messiah has come. And those who believe in him will certainly be saved. God has fulfilled his promise to make Abraham, the promise he made in Genesis 11, a great nation. Faith in Christ brings one into the family of God for eternity. And through Jesus, our relationship with God is restored, and we can walk in loving relationship with him forever, and we will never be disappointed. So we are made righteous through faith. We are also saved through faith by believing in Christ. And this is great news. I mean, this is awesome. And this is a news that we want our neighbors and our families and our friends to know. We want other people to know, because God was so gracious to open our eyes to the truth. And we want to see the people that we love, that God loves more than us, by the way, come to know this truth as well. So Paul is continuing with more good news, saying that this salvation is for all peoples in verses 12 through 13. Now, the Jews were very focused on themselves, which I'm sure everybody in this room can relate, and at least I can. And they thought that salvation was only for them as a nation. But Paul is saying, no, the news is much bigger and much better than that. Salvation is for all peoples all over the world. There was distinction with the law, but with Christ, that wall is now broken. God is the Lord of not just Israel, but he is the Lord of the entire world. And he wants to bless abundantly all those people, all the people who believe in him. And so I would like, quickly as an illustration, to look at one of these people groups, because there are just so many different kinds of peoples all over the world, and it's just too big for my little mind to imagine. But I would like to show you a people group that God loves, and that he has caused Hannah and I our heart to love, and that's the Japanese. So just make sure So this is the city that we live in, Yokohama. Japan is a city of about Japan is a country of about 126 million people. And Yokohama is a city of close to 4 million. It's really part of the greater Tokyo area, which was 40 million. And so on the next slide, you'll see that Japan basically covers, it's a really long country. It covers the whole east coast of the U.S. So it goes up, can go up from Canada down to Florida. So it's got a variety of climates. And then the next slide, we'll see that only 1%, it's probably less than 1%, to be honest, but we'll just take 1% as a starting point. Only 1% of the Japanese are Christians. That's probably closer to 0.5%. You know, mission work in Japan dates back 500 years. But even with all that, even with people going to tell the Japanese about Jesus, the work has been extremely slow. They're just a very hard people to believe the gospel. The primary religions in Japan are Buddhism and Shintoism. And you don't have to remember all the ins and outs of that. All you need to kind of remember is those two worldviews or religions are vastly different than anything you have ever encountered here in the States, most likely. Shintoism was a religion that kind of formed within Japan, and Buddhism came from India through China into Japan about 1,500 years ago. And the two are separate, but they've kind of influenced each other. And then you can kind of marry that with Christianity, which came in 500 years ago, and then Protestant missionaries came in about 200 years ago. And you have this kind of religious culture in Japan where the Japanese will often joke, well, when for birth, there's Shintoism, because we go to the shrine and we just have the baby blessed at the shrine. And then for marriage, there's Christianity, because they like the idea of a wedding in a church. It seems very exotic to them. And then for death is Buddhism. And they go to the Buddhist temple when someone dies. So that's kind of the background of the Japanese. And believe it or not, they actually don't consider themselves very religious. So they're kind of like, they're a religious people, but they are kind of irreligious. And if you ask them questions about their own religion, most of the time they'll just kind of be like, meh, I don't know, and just change the topic. But everywhere you look in Japan, in the media, on the streets, when you talk to people, you can see that their understanding of how the world works has been influenced by all of these religions. And so it's people like these, the Japanese are just one example. There's people all over the world in all sorts of different countries. There's people here in Ellsbury that do not understand that righteousness comes by faith. And we didn't either, right? I surely didn't understand that if God hadn't been so gracious to put people in my life to show me the Bible and explain that to me. And so What do we do? We have this good news now that God saves us, that God comes to us and loves us first, and that this is for all people, that it's not, there's no distinction. And so how are we to live out this gospel? Well, Paul gets into that in verses 14 through 15. We are invited to share the gospel with these people. But how are they to call on whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in Jesus if they have never heard his name? And how are they to hear without someone proclaiming? The call in Romans is for all Christians, for all of us, to share the gospel with those who have not yet believed. And this can be pretty difficult. It can be extremely difficult doing that with your family members and friends. And it's also very difficult doing that with people from other cultures who have a completely different idea of how the world works than you do. Because God, we're not supposed to just share the facts of the gospel mindlessly, right? We don't just want to kind of go down a rote list and spit out some facts and be like, there you go. We want to share in a way that can touch someone's heart, in a way that they can understand. So how do we do that? Well, let's look at the Japanese one more time as an example. You know, challenges hindering the Japanese from believing the gospel are manifold. I will go over a few of the big ones this morning. But, of course, the first one is sin. And you think, well, yeah, that's like, you know, that's what's hindering everybody from believing the gospel. And that's true. But what I mean by that is the Japanese, when they hear the word sin, have a completely different understanding of what we might in the West. It's similar but different. When they hear the word sin, they think a criminal. They think someone who's broken the law, not God's law, Japanese government's law. And so I think of Hannah's tutor, when we're talking to her about this all the time, she's like, well, you know, I'm not a sinner. I don't break the law. And I obey it. Most Japanese do, so we're not sinners. So she that's their worldview. So if you just kind of say that word sin and then go on to explain the gospel, they've already kind of distorted what you mean by that. And so we have to sit and take time and make sure they have a biblical understanding of what sin actually is and how it's more than just behaviors and how it's a broken relationship from the Creator, right? I mean, you have to do that here in America too, but in Japan, you got to go like just a step further and explain over and over because it's harder for them to understand. Likewise, there's a great distrust of religion there for a number of reasons. There's a lot of cults and religious abuse that's gone on in Japan. Religion has been used as an excuse for war. And finally, the Japanese kind of see their heritage and ancestral lineage as their entire identity. And so for them, they're an extremely group-oriented people. They want to be the same. They don't want to be different. But here in the States, we're kind of like, yeah, I'm going to be my own individual. In Japan, they're like, we don't want to do that. We all want to be the same. And so Christianity is kind of viewed as this foreign religion. And if they believe it, they're like, well, now I'm the nail that sticks out, and I'm going to be weird. And the nail that sticks out gets hammered back down, you know. And so those are obstacles for them believing the gospel. So how do we live out Romans 10 in a place like this? Well, I mean, honestly, the same as you're doing here in Ellsbury. We just try and meet Japanese people and make friends by whatever means we can. Two ways we've done that have been through Bible study / game nights and English ministry. And also, we spend a lot of time learning language and culture. Because remember that concept of sin, like we want to be able to explain that to them so that it can touch their heart. And so that they can understand, oh, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of God. I'm in need of Christ. I'm in need of righteousness. And they understand that concept of holiness actually in Japan. And so we want to be able to explain that to them. Just like here in Ellsbury, y'all can communicate the gospel to people in ways that Hannah and I can't, not being from here. You understand people's trials here much more than we ever could. And so you can communicate in the gospel in a way that can grab hold of them much differently than someone from the outside would be able to. So in Japan, we do this. We hope to do this in cooperation with local believers too, right? It's not a one-man show. We are part of a church, and we hope to partner with that church and help the Japanese know Jesus. And ultimately, we want to plant a new church out of that, and we want to do it alongside with Japanese believers. And that's our hope, and that's what we're praying to, and that's what we're working towards, and how we're trying to live out this commandment here in Romans to preach the gospel among the nations. Like verses 14 and 15 tell us, we preach Jesus, we tell the gospel with our words. And again, I want to emphasize, this gospel is not just for the Japanese. It is for the people of Ellsbury. It is for the people of St. Louis. It's for the people that God has placed around you in your everyday life. Some of us are called, like Pastor Sam was saying earlier, some of us are called to go overseas and do that. And most of us, many of us, are just called to stay here and do it in our communities. But the message is the same. We must share the gospel of Jesus with our words to those who don't know him, so that they have a chance to believe. So in conclusion, there's two questions I would like for us to just kind of ask ourselves this morning. Actually, there's three, but I didn't get the third one to you in time. But the first one is, you know, if you're in here and you aren't yet a believer in Christ, what are steps that God might want you to take in placing your faith in him? You know, Jesus has done the work for you. What are some next steps you think you could be being asked to do to give him your burdens and your woes and to let him be Lord of your life? And for those of us who are Christians, the second question is there anyone you want to share the gospel with, and is there anyone you could take with you to help? You don't have to do it alone. You can do it with a friend. And oftentimes it's much easier because you guys can kind of like share parts that the other person forgets, or you just get encouragement from one another. And the last question that I forgot to put up here is, how can you be involved in sharing the gospel to people in faraway lands? It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to those faraway lands. There are lots of ways to support the gospel being shared in all sorts of countries all over the world, as I already know you are doing as a church. Now, the message of today's passage is not just for missionaries. It's for all Christians. We are all invited to believe in Jesus, turn away from our sins, dwell with the God who loves us, and share the gospel with our family, with our friends, and with our neighbors. You know, one of the beautiful things about being brought into God's family is that we don't have to do this alone. We do it together as brothers and sisters. There are no superstars in Christianity. We are all weak and in need. And I will be the first to admit that I am weak. So we share the gospel together, and we do missions together in cooperation. We pray for one another. We share stories with one another, and we encourage one another. I can attest that Hannah and I will take any help we can get. There's just so much more we have to learn about Japanese language and culture. We can barely talk at the sixth grade level, let alone answer questions about good and evil on the philosophical level. So we walk together in humility with local Japanese brothers and sisters, and we learn from them, and we encourage them, and they encourage us. And likewise, you, First Baptist Ellsbury, you need each other. And you need missionaries, and we need you. Proclaiming the gospel near and far happens in community and in cooperation. Hannah and I would treasure your prayers and would love to keep you updated. And likewise, we would love to hear what's going on here in Ellsbury. So that's the call this morning for us, is to receive righteousness from Christ through faith. If we've already done that, be reminded, like we need to be, I need to be reminded every day. And then we go out and we share the gospel. We share this good news with other people. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, because without it, you know, we would be lost. And we thank you that you call us to share this good news with other people. It is a blessing to be able to share, Jesus, about the love you've shown us with those who have not yet known. And so I pray for all of us in here that you would continue to put people in our lives that you want to know yourself. And that, Spirit, you would strengthen us and help us to share the gospel in a way that is understood, and that we could help people know you just like people helped us to know you. God, we love you. And we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.